Tori, you've mentioned the patterns that you have seen in the US, the incrementalism that led up to the overturning of Roe versus Wade. Do you think that same pattern is happening in Australia?
I think there is a very live attempt to replicate that pattern in Australia. You only have to Google sex selective abortions or late term abortions and see that this is very much a replication of the US strategy. We don't have the polarized politics quite as much as the US, although recent days have made me wonder whether that's consistently true. I feel like Labor could probably use the issue to maybe wedge the coalition or Liberal National parties further on this. But what it does do is puts abortion back in contention. You know, we'd removed it from the criminal code. It was between a woman and her doctor, and now all of a sudden it's public fodder again. And it intersects with a lot of other conversations that are happening on the right wing about, you know, let's cut down immigration, make women have more babies to make up the difference. It also ties in with a lot of, you know, like anti-gay and anti-trans kind of stuff. It's this.
There's a pattern emerging, you're arguing.
There's a pattern, and it's that wishing for like the 19, you know, this mythical 1950s time when the world was a better place and the woman had dinner on the table when her husband got home from work sort of thing. I think it was David Marr might have called it faux-stalgia, like a nostalgia for a past that never actually existed.
Do you think, or do experts tell you that they see a parallel between the rise of MAGA and Donald Trump and the movements towards banning abortion and the rise of One Nation and the movement towards restricting abortion rights here?
Yeah, very much. The interesting thing with One Nation is, you know, they only really wanted to be about migration. Like that's the issue they were sort of focusing on. But at the same time, they're getting endorsements from different people. So people like, you know, Joanna Howe telling people to vote for them. What I think will be really interesting is as One Nation continues and other policies of theirs sort of come into focus, and we'll find out whether the people who are planning to vote for them actually really care about the policies at all or are just voting for them as a middle finger to the major parties. And I suspect they probably don't want to be talking about abortion this much, but now you've got Barnaby Joyce, who historically has been very vehemently anti-abortion. I don't know, maybe it's another area where those cracks will start to appear in the party.
I just want to end where we began, talking about the use of social media, Joanna Howe's use of social media to very effective ends. What does it say that such a personal and emotive issue for women and pregnant people, a health issue, is playing out in this kind of political campaign on social media? Like what should that tell us?
It should tell us that we should never take for granted any of the hard-won rights that we've already got. It should tell us that we should hope for a more civil and empathetic space, because the side effect of all of this, which again, how and all the other anti-abortion lobbies would say is not what they intend. I just think of how many women I know who have had miscarriages, who've had abortions, and who are now always having these misleading, gory pictures, so many stories. And underneath all of these different human / sugar glider stories and the themes is this idea that women, you know, get to 25 weeks pregnant going, oh, do you know what, I changed my mind. You know, it makes it seem as though this is just an easy, on a whim decision that women are making, whereas the reality quite often is a very heartbreaking one, where something's gone terribly wrong and a wanted child doesn't arrive. So, yeah, I worry about that indirect impact on a lot of women who've all gone through their various journeys.
Tori, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thanks, Reggie.
That was senior reporter Tori Shepherd. This episode was produced by Lou Hill, sound design and mixing by Daniel Simo, and the executive producer of this episode of Full Story is Miles Herbert. Don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Regid Ahmed. See you soon.